Father in heaven, I want to thank you for your challenges that you give to us and your rebukes, even though sometimes they're very embarrassing and painful. But the end result is joy and peace. And so, Father, I pray now as we move towards the conclusion of this series, that you would anoint me from on high with the Holy Spirit. That each one of us would clearly see the issue of spiritualism, the seriousness of it, and how it's affecting Christianity and preparing people to be deceived for the last days. So blessed to this end now, Lord, and thank you that you will answer this prayer because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I've been doing a series entitled Battle for Your Soul. This is called His Masterpiece of Deception. Now, let's do a quick review. Part one was called The Plantings of the Garden. And we discovered from Genesis, and by the way, you have a bulletin insert that has this on it. So take your bulletin insert and follow along, and you'll know that when Satan spoke to Eve, he planted these seeds: spiritualism, Eastern religion, New Age, paganism, appetite, mass media, Jesuitism, evangelism, and emerging church. These seeds were planted at the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, and they are now bearing fruit like never before. And so the second thing we looked at, part two, was the emerging church, which you may have never heard of until you came. And the emerging church believes and teaches that the church needs to change their doctrine and their approach to reach new people. Imagine changing their doctrine. And I gave you a list of seven characteristics. I'm highlighting two here so that we can move on to part number three. The two I'm highlighting is, notice, the emerging church says there's no absolute truth. That means no Sabbath, or it doesn't matter what day you worship on. But it says spiritual feeling and social action make up the only reliable substance of Christianity. Spiritual feeling and social action. Notice there's no brain here. Number five, I highlighted the capture, to capture the sacred feeling. There's the word feeling again. We should reconnect with ancient worship forms. Okay, so this leads into part number three, do not enter. And what was part number three? One of the teachings of the emerging church that has to do with feeling and has to do with going back to ancient worship forms is the idea of contemplative prayer. And contemplative prayer, by the way, is centering prayer, breath prayer, silence, etc. There's a whole list of names. Prayer sounds really good, but what they teach is that you go beyond thought by the use of repeated words or phrases to reach an interior silence, so you can connect with, they say, God. In other words, they're telling you to empty your mind. And not only that, they say, in order to succeed at that, you must repeat a word or a phrase over and over till you overcome your mind's wandering and you can empty it. Folks, that's self-hypnosis. When your mind is empty, guess who moves in? They're teaching this in the Christian church, okay? So number three, do not enter. Number four, we looked at the harvest of the Counter-Reformation. And we discovered that in the Counter-Reformation came the teaching of the rapture. Now, this is a picture of book number one of the Left Behind series. There were 18 books in the series. They sold 65 million copies. And by the way, the authors were Protestant, and they teach a non-biblical theory of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Non-biblical. And guess where it came from? The rapture theory. on the second coming of Jesus Christ came from Roman Catholic theology. That's where it came from. So this Protestant doctrine that all the Protestant church believe came from Roman Catholic theology. And number two, part six, which is the second part of the Counter-Reformation, is the battle for the Bibles. We took a close look at that. I was very surprised. I've known this information, but never bothered with it until recently, and discovered there were two flows of Scripture. One came from Antioch, and it was the pure Scripture. One came from Alexandria, and it was the perverted Scripture. And by the way, I will be adding in my sermon today his masterpiece of deception, a little more piece on the Alexandrian flow of the Bible that was perverted, that is now the format for all the new versions of the Bible, including the new King James, except for the King James Version. It just blew me away. I want to show you this. I know you can't see it, but I'll read it to you and you'll get the point. In the upper left-hand column is the 10 most popular Bibles in 2010 based on dollar sales. We're in 2011, so they don't have the figures yet. And number one is NIV, the most, I shouldn't say the most, but the most popular Bible from the Alexandrian text, which is perverted. And after that is the King James, then the New King James, then the New Living Translation, da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, go over to your right, and you will see the 2010 based on unit sales. Unit sales, number one is the NIV. Number two is King James. Number three is the New King James. And it pretty much follows the dollar sales as well as unit sales. But below that is when they started this in 2006. I want you to notice the number one Bible in 2006 was NIV. But notice the second one. It was the New King James. So notice the New King James has been replaced recently as the number two Bible, the King James. I think people began to realize the New King James was no different or better than the NIV, the RSV, the NASB, etc. And they went back to the King James, and so it's now number two in 2010, but in 2006 it was number three. And now today we're going to look, the number one Bible is NIV, and now we're going to look at part five, his masterpiece of deception. Okay, in Great Controversy, page 561, listen what it says. Little by little, Satan, has prepared the way for his masterpiece of deception. Now, if you look through Great Controversy, writings of Ellen White, you'll see a masterpiece or one of the masterpieces or a masterpiece. So far, the only place I can find in the writings where she says his masterpiece of deception in the development of spiritualism. Remember, it was planted in the garden. You shall not surely die. He has not yet reached the full accomplishments of his design, but it will be reached in the last remnant of time. I want you to know the Great Controversy is now outdated. Some of you fast thinkers, have you already got it? Because I believe that it has reached full accomplishment now. Okay? Did you hear me? When she wrote this back, the last update was, 1911, whatever. I want you to know that he has really reached the accomplishment of his design. And this sermon is going to show that to you fully. And but notice what she said. She closed with, but it will reach in the what? Last remnant of time. If my premise is correct, then we are in the last remnant of time. That is correct. All right, so let me show you this. What is spiritualism? The belief that disembodied spirits of the dead surviving in another world can communicate with the living in this world, especially through mediums. By the way, this is a picture of Saul and meeting with the witch of Endor, who quote-unquote called up Samuel, which we know is not true. That's what spiritualism. You can talk to the dead. And it all comes from immortality of the soul. The belief that the soul is immortal. That inside of you is this immortal thing. Nowhere is that taught in Scripture. It to me is so blatantly obvious when Timothy or Paul wrote to Timothy and said, only God is immortal. And yet in the garden, the devil said, you will not die. And all of Christianity believes that now. And in the last remnant of time, spiritualism, his masterpiece of deception, will bear its great fruit. Now, before we look at how serious this is, let's look where it came from. I've got good old Origen here again. Origen is the origin. By the way, I want all the history buffs to know that that actually isn't accurate, but Origen is the one that really brought it into prominence in the 3rd century to the Christian church, this belief in pre-existence of the human soul. And I want you to hear this. There is no roots in the Bible. It comes clearly from paganism. Okay? Okay, so what's the roots? Paganism. You didn't say that. What is the roots of pre-existence of the soul? Paganism. Let me read to you from the faith, prophetic faith of our fathers, book number 1. I'm going to read page 321. Listen to this. By the way, the prophetic faith of our fathers is Leroy Froom, a 4-volume set. By the way, I cut volume 1 in half. Can you imagine how thick volume 1 was before I cut it in half? They are fantastic. I cannot believe what Leroy Froom did to research all this. Listen to this. Origen's misconception of soul. The foundation of all Origen's errors lay in his attempt to reconcile Christianity with pagan philosophy of Egypt and Greece, particularly Neoplatonism. And one of the basic elements of his philosophy was his misconception of the nature of the human soul. Yes, he believed it pre-existed. So notice, what is Neoplatonism, or what is what he was Origen believing here? That's, he took Christianity and tried to reconcile it with pagan philosophy of Egypt and of Greece. And he came up with this pre-existing, the soul idea. Now I'm going to read from page 312. Listen to this. And now you're going to say, why are you reading this, Pastor? I'm reading it because I want you to make connection with what's happening in our church today, as well as all other churches. See if you pick up on this. He, Origen, brought the Christian truth down towards the level of pagan philosophy in an attempt to make it acceptable to the higher classes, thereby contributing tragically to the corruption of the faith of the church. Now, doesn't that almost sound like Origen's motivation was pretty good? You see, he was attempting to make Christianity more acceptable to the higher classes who were full of paganism. Folks, that's what's happening today. We got to accommodate those people out there. They're not going to come to our church unless we tone down the rhetoric, unless we do this, do that. The very thing Origen did is happening now. And it's tragic. By the way, I want to tell you something really neat. I'm going to do this briefly. I'm almost done. I'm going to do it really briefly. But I want you to hear this. By later synods, okay, Froome is going on and saying, he's considered Origen one of the most brilliant men. I think it's Jerome, was it Jerome claimed that he wrote 3,000 documents and books. I mean, he was incredible. But no one polluted the Christian church like he did. And followed him was Eusebius, and followed him was Augustine. Froome says, by later synods, after his death, Origen, he was charged with heresy and anathematized as a heretic. His teachings, however, live on and exert a profound influence on succeeding centuries. I want you to know they recognize that this guy was off base, and they are still reading him today and following his teachings today, even though later synods anathematized him. Not anesthetized. They claimed him blasphemous. And I said, well, I'm glad somebody noticed it. And I went on the internet and discovered the recent historians have now elevated him back to the position of honor. That's another story. I'll get to that later. And so now I want to introduce you to the largest purveyor of spiritualism. Are you ready? Okay. Folks, I wish I could have done this a different way than show you that at church. But you need to recognize that Disney, more than any other medium, has made spiritualism palatable like no one else has. And now it pervades everything. So I want you to, parents of little children whose their kids may love Bambi or whatever else, I want you to know that Disney is not pure and holy either. I am not going to sit and watch the Disney Channel in order to preach a more informed sermon to you. But one of their programs is called The Wizards of Waverly. For those of you who have watched it, you probably could come up here and verify that the kids are wizards and they do magical things. And our children watch this for hours. The number one purveyor. It has made it a household word. It's no longer a thing to be feared. But let's take a look at what the Bible tells us. Take your Bibles and go to Isaiah 47 verse 9. I want to read this to you. Isaiah 47 verse 9. Now, you may not have caught this before, but Isaiah, the prophet, had great condemnation for literal Babylon. And I want to show you one of the reasons why Babylon was judged so severely by God, even though God did use them as a chastening rod of His people. So let's just make it brief, and you can peruse that whole chapter, and you'll pick up many references from here that John picked up in the book of Revelation. But let's look at verse 9. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day, Babylon, the loss of your children and the widowhood. Why? And widowhood will come to you. Why? They shall come upon thee in their perfection, for the multitudes of thy what? Sorceries, and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. By the way, wasn't that called the enchanted kingdom? Yeah. Now go down to verse 12, if you would. Stand now for thine enchantments with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy what? From the youth. If so be thou shalt be able to profit, if so be thou mayest prevail. Verse 13. Thou art weary in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers and the stargazers and the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Will they be able to? No, they won't be able to. Nebuchadnezzar said, bring in my wise men. I want to know the dream and the interpretation. We cannot tell you the dream and interpretation, O king. Just tell us the dream and we will tell you the interpretation. Well, I want to make sure you guys know what you're doing. I pay you a lot of money, so you tell me both, not just one. O king, no man has ever asked, no king has ever asked any man to do such a thing. So just tell us what the dream is. We'll tell the interpretation. No, I'm not going to accept that. And if you don't tell me, I'm going to destroy every one of you. Oh, no man on earth or no God could know this. And then you got the book of Daniel and Revelation, and when God reveals, He knows the end from the beginning clearly. Oh, folks, I'm telling you, we're wasting our time on the world when this book is the only source of true wisdom. And the reason Babylon is falling is because of witchcraft, because of spiritualism. Now let's go to literal Babylon. Write these texts down. Matthew 24:24. 2 Thessalonians 2:9. But let's go to Revelation 13:13. They all say the same thing. But when we talked about why literal Babylon was destroyed, now let's look why spiritual Babylon will be destroyed. Revelation 13:13 says this, and he doeth great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. For what purpose? Verse 14, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. And so what is Disney and all the other purveyors of spiritualism or of mysticism, or of this magic stuff, what has it done? It has prepared us to make our judgments based on miracles, feelings, instead of the Word of God in your mind. Yeah? What did the emerging church say? We got to base our experience on feeling and social action. In the meantime, you're ready for the masterpiece of his deception, spiritualism. Okay, I'm going to prepare you for my next. And by the way, this is just two more slides, I'm done. But I want you to listen very carefully. I'm going to prepare you for what you're going to see and hear. This is a woman who has, what do they call those shows in which they're live action? Reality, thank you. It's called Psychic in Suburbia. Okay, I hope none of you if you watch it just to get information, don't keep watching. She's introduced as one who talks to the dead. All right? And then she's with firefighters and she conjures up the name of a firefighter who had died, and all the firemen are sitting there. And she says, he likes to be here with you and he likes to watch over you. And then she's going to tell, the announcer's going to ask her, I'm a Catholic and my priest friend helps me with this gift. He says it's a gift from the Holy Spirit to get communication from the dead. This is gift of the Holy Spirit. She's then going to say, everyone is psychic or has intuition. And then she repeats in that little section, everyone has this ability. By the way, she's right. What do you think contemplative prayer is? Connecting with these evil spirits, only they call them gods. Then she's going to say, lots of kids hear voices and they get afraid, so they shut it off. And we say, amen, lady. But she's saying, don't shut it off. Tell her I'm here with her. A dead voice came to her and said, I'm her sister, tell her I'm with her. Things are not... and the voices tell me things that are not out there. In other words, I don't go on the internet and get information then come and trick you. She said, they tell me things that only you know. So they are really, she said, I hope to spread this message in a lighthearted way. I hope to spread this message in a lighthearted way. Then she says, I have control over it. Wait till the demons begin to harass her. That's always the end result when you mess with Satan, even if you're doing something good for him. I have control over it. She doesn't have a clue, folks. I have control over it, and I can flick the switch. And then she says, when my children who were originally afraid, I told them these are angels, and they watch that you're being watched over by your loved ones. Are you ready? So now you watch for these. Here we go.
A hectic life. Wait until you meet our next guest. Her name is Maureen Hancock. She's from Massachusetts, and she has to balance being a mom with her second job, which is talking to the dead.
I had a guy just started to sort of come in loud and clear to me, and he pointed over here. I was like, look at that sign. Grab the E and the D. Do you know anybody named Ed? Eddie, that could be associated with this place?
Yeah, we do. Actually, we had a firefighter that passed away.
So he was in this building when he passed?
Yes.
And had a heart attack?
Yes.
Okay, because he's holding his chest. He's like, this is my house. Like, this is where he likes to be, and he likes to watch over you guys.
Wow, see the shocked look on the firefighters' faces. Maureen Hancock is the star of the Style Network's new show, Psychic in Suburbia. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
So when we look at that clip, they didn't believe you, right, at first?
No, they didn't believe me. And I walked into a room full of 20 skeptical firefighters.
And what was the end result? What did they say at the end?
Oh, the end result, they were all in tears and just disbelief. And one of the firefighters said, you know, I was an atheist. I didn't even believe in God. And she just turned my whole world upside down.
That's unbelievable. And yeah. You actually, speaking of God, you jokingly with me in the break said you're the Catholic medium because you're still a practicing Catholic.
Yeah.
But you also, and you found a parish where they respect the fact that they believe this is a gift from God, not something sacrilegious.
Well, I have a friend who is a priest who helps me, and he said, you know, this is the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that's where I source.
Yeah. It's fascinating. I think people have a fascination with psychics, and people also are skeptical of it. But first, let me just ask you, how do you know you're a psychic? I mean, what do you feel, and what did you feel as a young girl?
Okay. Well, I believe that everyone is psychic or has intuition. For me, it was definitely a little bit stronger. As a young child, I was in a coma with lead paint poisoning. And when I came out and home from the hospital, I saw all these people walking around my home. And I'm one of eight. I'm one of nine. Please, I'm no mathlete. And so one of my sisters said, you know, you need to stop talking about all these people or they'll take you back to the hospital. And then cut to 1992, I was in a car accident, broke several bones in my face. And then I started to hear the voices. But I do believe that everybody has this ability.
So you shut it down. You heard it when you were younger, and you thought, "This, I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to, you know, I don't know what to do with this." So it went dormant.
Right. A lot of kids see spirits, and they get afraid. So they shut it off, and that's what I did.
So you cut to after the car accident. You said it was in 1992 that happened to you. What did you then start seeing? I mean, how did you manage it at that point when you were older?
Well, I started to hear voices, and I was litigation manager at Logan Airport. So, you know, I had this big job, and I knew that I wanted to help people somehow, and I also was working on the side with hospice doing hands-on healing, and I started to really hear, like, hey, I'm her mother, Angelina. Tell her I'm here. And I'd be like, go away. You know, it was scary. And then I was a stand-up comedian in Boston, so I became dubbed the comedian medium to make death not so ooga booga and scary.
Right.
Yeah.
And so what about people who doubt you and say, oh, you know, you're doing a reality show. You claim that you can. But you could probably Google me. You could probably Google me, find something out, find out somebody in my past, and then ask me about it.
Right. And then I say to them, you know, Google yourself. You're not that interesting. But really, I give facts that are not Googleable, if that's a word. So, you know, I come up with things that just are not out there, and I see comfort. And the work that I do during the day is all volunteer. You know, I work with cancer patients and children, and I work with detectives to help find missing children. So I spend my time giving back. All of my private readings are free, so that sets me apart. And as far as the show goes, I hope to spread this message, and I can do it in a lighthearted way.
So do you, right now, I mean, would you be able to get, is this on demand, or is it more hit or miss?
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, right now I'm talking to you, so I'm
right.
not like
You're
up
not
in the heavens,
right.
and the light switch isn't on. If somebody wants to barge in from beyond, they might just do that. So you're right, there is no on-demand button. So sometimes if they want to just come through, they'll come through. On occasion, I'll be at the supermarket, and, hey, you know, that's my sister over there in produce. I'm like, leave me alone. I'm shopping.
So do you sometimes ignore the voices, meaning, I mean, you don't always, you know, because otherwise it would seem that you would never have any time to yourself. You would always be sort of seeking out people and trying to tell them about
right.
things that they may not want to hear.
Right. I have control over it, and I flip the switch when I want to or need to. But thankfully, it's not all the time. You know, I have two children, and I'm trying to balance raising kids and raising the dead.
Are they scared of this, the kids? How old are they?
Not anymore. They're 10 and 12. At first, my younger one was definitely a little bit afraid and be like, is somebody in the closet? You know, but I just taught them about calling in their angels and that they're protected and watched over by their loved ones, and they have a nephew in heaven, my sister's son, Sean, and he watches over them, and they say that he visits them in their dreams. And I think it's great that they know that they are watched over and protected.
That is amazing. Well, a unique gift for sure. Maureen Hancock, Style Network psychic in suburbia. Thanks so much for being with us this morning. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
I jotted some notes. Cool, calm, collected, attractive, articulate, intelligent, smiling. How many of you are as happy as she is? Hey, this is scary stuff. Hey, it's okay. There's no big deal here. Man, you'd be happy like me too. What do you think these desert priests or whatever that live in obscurity in a desert, why do they? Because they experience supernatural things on a regular basis. This is not a game. It's really happening. We've got to protect our children so they understand this. That's why I feel that we're already in the last of time. He's no longer little by little. He's little by little himself to where we're at today. That we have taken it hook, line, and sinker through the two great errors. The immortality of the soul and Sunday's sacredness, Satan will bring the people under his deceptions. While the former lays the foundation of spiritualism, the latter creates a bond of sympathy with Rome. The Protestants of the United States will be foremost in stretching their hand across the gulf to grasp the hand of what? Spiritualism. They will reach over the abyss to clasp the hand of the Roman power, and under the influence of this threefold union, this country will follow in the steps of Rome in trampling on the rights of conscience. And by the way, next week is the anniversary of 9/11, and our freedoms are shrinking. So if you don't think that we're going to be trampled on our rights of conscience, and you're not reading the signs of the time, I want you to make a decision as I close. I want you to be aware of what's happening. The only source of solace is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Spending time with Him every day in your Bible and Spirit of Prophecy. He will give us the strength and courage to endure through all this garbage that we have to deal with and protecting our children, which is becoming more difficult than ever. In fact, Arlen, there's never been a time when our church is needed, our church school is needed worse, and it's when our people no longer have that commitment, like it's not a big deal. And it just tears my heart out. And so I want you to make a decision, a concerted effort, before you leave here today, that you will vow to spend time every day with Jesus in your Bible and Spirit of Prophecy and in prayer, so He can enlighten all of us to what's really going on, and we can help others who are caught in these traps but are sincerely seeking truth. Father, I pray for Your Spirit to be poured out upon all of us as we part, that we will understand more fully these issues, and that we would stand firm for You and the Bible and its truth, no matter who or how many begin to attack or to weaken the testimony, Lord, of the sacred Word of God. Bless each one. Let no one be discouraged, Father. And if they are, let them go to the throne of grace, where they will find grace to help as well as mercy. So bless us to this end, and thank You for hearing this prayer, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.